And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm just trying to swallow my chocolate now. Because you know that chocolate is a part of what runs Right Side Radio.
It's a core piece of it.
It is indeed. Alicia keeps us stocked up with chocolate. We have the caffeine. We're all good. All right. Listen, I got to jump into the materials here. So the first dipper, I'm on the first dipper. It's almost 3:30 and I'm just getting dipper number one. You know what? That's a sign of a really good show. Just stop slowing me down over there, JP.
All right. I'll shut up there.
So thank you. All right. So here's the thing. There's an old saying that politics is downstream from culture, right? It's not an unfounded statement. Politics downstream from culture. What that basically means is politics looks and sees which way the wind's blowing and decides, you know, to go ahead and just kind of head in that direction. And also, it's not always bad. Sometimes what it's saying is culture shifts and it creates new ways and means by which politics will then flow. Things like electing certain kinds of leaders, things like moving in certain directions politically, whether a red state or a blue state, that kind of thing. Here's the thing. We're watching right now what I would call a countercultural moment because culture got way far afield. And in this case, Trump got elected, and he is now using the power of his office in government to provide what I would call a cross current. I mean, look at it. It's almost like the larger, bigger river came in from the side and at the junction of the waters began forcing the current to do more than what it ever would have done. We are watching right now, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm serious. We are watching right now an absolute cross-cultural moment where the power of government is actually recorrecting culture because culture was allowed to do whatever it wanted to do for the last few years, just like anything goes. What do you want? You want some of that? We got a USAID grant for that. We can give you that. What do you want? You got some of that? We can do that three times. What do you want? You want a transgenders in the White House? You want to put rainbow flags in classrooms? You want to, what do you want to do? Green New Steel? Yeah, $7.5 billion and we'll give you 8 EV chargers. This is great. You could do all the things. And it was madness. And right now we're watching as the Trump administration using the power of government is putting what I would call a cross current or a correcting mechanism onto those cultural influences. So it's an all-out assault, really, and it needs to be. There's been a blitz of executive orders. New York Post has got a piece here by Rich Lowry that came out over the weekend. Actually, it came out Thursday, I believe. And he talks about the fact that all these fashionable progressive ideas, these virtue signals, they've been just ascendant. It's been awesome to watch. And, yeah, all of a sudden they're getting hammered. I mean, like, hammered. Like you got things like executive orders coming out that are correcting sports. And once they do, shabam, all of a sudden the NCAA changes its policies. Well, how do you like that? You've got anti-DEI policies and shabam, all of a sudden you've got recruiting going up in the military. It's just, is it all directly related? Sometimes it's tangentially related. But you know what the fact is? We're watching right now as a cultural moment has occurred. You're watching your politics shift. The pendulum literally stopping in mid-swing and being sent back in the opposite direction. It's like like watching two magnets that repel each other. And all of a sudden, as the leftists were swinging hard, trying to get even more than they were going for everything they could get. And all of a sudden that cross polarization of the magnets and shabam, it heads back in the exact opposite direction. Now, you're seeing it at the state and the federal level. And some of what you're seeing is an effort by what I would call the right in politics to get busy and make sure that we're not going to allow this to go away. Because keep in mind, most of what we're seeing out of D.C., if not all of it, those are actual executive orders. Now, there are some things they're doing, like, you know, axing certain line item expenditures and downsizing of government and, you know, auditing of the Pentagon and different things like that, that are going to have longstanding effects that go way beyond an executive order. But some of it, like, over at the way, transgender in sports or definition of what is a woman, those things are not codified. They are just a pushback. They're an executive order, which could be repealed by a future executive order. So until they're codified, what I'm enjoying seeing is the states are jumping in feet first. And well, they should. I mean, right now, you've got the state of Alabama, thankfully. 1819 News has a story that came out over the weekend. Governor Kay Ivey signed the What is a Woman Act into law, codifying for state law what a male and a female is, which you look at it and go, why are we having to do this? You know what? We can get past the point of why and just say we had to. And I'm glad they did. I am also appreciative of the fact that the story points out that same bill took 3 years to pass. Explain that to me. It took 3 years to get that passed? For the love, people. That's like saying, you know, it's just so easy. We just don't think we're going to do that one today. That's ridiculous. But the reality is they got it passed. It's done. So give me some applause on that because I'm glad they did. Well, how about give me some music instead? All right, listen. State law, yeah. But let's start talking about some of the changes that are happening around the nation as we look at where woke goes to die. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like from Huntsville back to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And I do mean to say even some big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, we got plenty to talk about here. And I'm in number one of the triple dipper. I'm calling it Where Woke Goes to Die. Y'all, listen, the Biden administration right now is where woke go. I'm not sorry. The Trump administration is where woke goes to die. The Biden administration like wrote the book on it. But it is amazing how quickly the changes are coming. And that's what's so enjoyable about this is he didn't get in there and set up a study commission and decide he was going to meet with, you know, legislative leaders and talk about how much we can do and whether we will get them do-de-do-de-do. And next thing you know, we're 1 year in and nothing's been achieved. He's just in there just saying, you know what, I said I was going to do these things and here I am. One of the things that is, you know, woke being sent to its grave is DEI. I mean, I could do a whole show on ESG and CRT. Well, let's just pick one of the acronyms. How about DEI? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. The whole world, especially in the wake of the George Floyd incident, just went DEI bananas. Just everybody's got to, I got to have me some of that DEI. Give me one of them DEIs. How much money we got in the bank? Let's put a little DEI staff on. What do you say? A DEI seminar? Sure, let's do it. How about we do some DEI? It's a feeding frenzy. And there were grants for it, and there were opportunities for it. And next thing you know, government was spending your tax dollars for things like this one. A guy at USAID who posted on TikToks how upset he was. His name is Peter Barsamian. And he was so upset because he lost his job. And I hate that until I read his job description. I'm thinking he shouldn't have had a job because he was the gender equality and social inclusion advisor for Chemonix. For the what? And it also included, by the way, part of his job included gender lens training in Tanzania and in libraries for inclusive education in Colombia.
What is a gender lens?
I don't know. Can you look that up? Look up gender lens training and see what that even means. I probably should have done that myself coming in, but I was so taken aback by his post right now. Now, Peter's having a hard time. And I understand that underwater basket weaving degree that he got that gave him the liberal arts ability to step into the job where he was a gender equality and social inclusion advisor on Chemonix for USAID, including gender lens training in Tanzania and libraries for inclusive education in Colombia. That was very important, said nobody ever. So what is gender lens training?
It's about what I would have predicted. It says,
oh, geez.
Applying a gender lens to civic engagement programs and materials means that those making content and curriculum decisions view those programs and materials with particular attention to gender imbalances or biases in what is being presented.
So he's a propaganda artist.
Yeah.
That's what he was. He was a propagandist. He was USAID's propaganda arm. He was out there touting the cult of gender fluidity for the world so they could see everything through a gender lens. Am I right in saying that?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's messed up, man. USAID, funded with your taxpayer dollars. But while we're at it, it's not just USAID. It's across the board. So I got a piece here that I pulled off of Daily Wire. And this one came out on Friday. Daily Wire, Luke Rosiak for Daily Wire wrote it. And you look at this and you think, okay, the left was so emboldened over the past 4 years. They had no inhibitions whatsoever. They could care less how you felt about it. You know why? Because they were told it was okay. Anything goes. Like, for instance, a guy who went by the name of Dia Harris. Dia. He was the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Equity Officer. Oh, geez. I already feel like this is going a bad direction. This is how he introduced himself on his LinkedIn page up until most recently. You ready for this? Greetings and salutations. I am Dia D. Harris, the ACF Chief Equity Officer. My pronouns are he, him, el, ill. I am unapologetically a black man, and I live authentically as a blackity black black man.
Does it actually say that?
It's in quotations, man. I actually authentically live as an unapologetically blackity black black man. What does that mean? But then you look at his job, and he's the chief equity officer who uses the pronouns he, him, L as in E-L, and ill, I-L. What are those? There's no pronoun of L, is there? Is there a pronoun of L?
I don't think so. It's a letter.
Is there a pronoun of I-L? There's no pro. I went to school. I know I had a public education, but I went to school. I got good marks. I'm well-read. I like to think I am. I've got a law degree, and I've never heard of a pronoun called ill.
Well, it's because he didn't have a gender lens trainer.
Well, there is that. So his profile, by the way, we got another one. Hang on a second. That's not his. It was him. Harris, by the way, here's the thing. Harris also falsified his career history on LinkedIn. Well, no figure. That doesn't surprise me a bit. He recently erased, though, the fact that he was a longtime, decades-long DEI activist. Yes, his new policy, his new job description is that he works on personnel policy under the Trump administration, providing consulting and guidance to senior stakeholders on strategic planning, leadership development, and talent management. In other words, he has gone underground. That thing that he was so emboldened, he was so authentic about, he's no longer authentic, apparently. He was authentically and unapologetically a blackity black black man, according to him, in quotations. But now, after the November election, his authenticity is to be called into question. Are you looking up the pronoun IL? Can you tell me what that is?
I'm on it.
Just pronoun IL. That somebody made that up. Does anybody know what a pronoun IL is? What?
What I just looked up
is
says...
Is it for reading on public radio?
No.
Okay.
It says Bon Patron website, whatever. It says, this is the third person masculine singular subject pronoun.
The third person... masculine, singular. Shut up.
I said this normally means he, but it can also mean it.
The love of God. On January 24th, Donald Trump's Office of Personnel and Management. All right. They sent a direction out, like government-wide. To the extent allowed by law, all DEI and DEIA and environmental justice offices were to close within 60 days. Like, bam, gone. Agencies were also sent, by the way, a complete list, were to send in to OPM a complete list of all said. In other words, don't just say we did it. We want to see the ones that had the title. I want to know if blackity black 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 man is suddenly going to find himself in trouble. I don't know, maybe your job's not necessary. You got people like LaTanya Davis, and it's spelled capital L, capital T, Anya. So LaTanya Davis, the Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Department of Agriculture. She has now retroactively changed her title. She's now a people leader. People leader. That's what I do. I'm a leader of people. What was she before? She used to be something much different. Something related to, Chief Diversity and Inclusion and pronouns and with my bold and audacious goals that are no longer bold and audacious. They have gone to ground, brother. This is where woke goes to die. Woke is no longer welcome, and people are realizing that kind of foolishness. There was nothing professional about that, by the way. Keep in mind, that was somebody with a like a C-suite position, apparently, at HHS. Somebody with the position that gave them the authority to use a title of chief anything. And that's what they really were. They were the chief of anything. And anything goes, anyway. And we're now looking at them suddenly realizing, oh, now I have to be professional. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I got more. What you got?
Well, I was just going to say, we have text came in, and then a couple people commented on our live stream saying that ill is French for he, but that Bradford Munsell said he doesn't know if that's what they're going for. I don't know if that is either. I think they're hijacking ill being French for he and then making it into whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, and I saw that L was on there too. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I think? I think it was obnoxious. I think it was pretentious. I think it was fallacious. I think it was salacious. I think it was ostentatious. And I think it was something that needed to get gone.
Every H's.
All the H's. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, too, the libs aren't stopping. I mean, out in some of their enclaves, like out in Oregon, the Democrats in Oregon just introduced House Bill 2995 in their state legislature calling for a task force on reparations. Got a copy of it. House Bill 2995. That's going to go over swimmingly. Half of Oregon's already wanting to break off and go east. So we'll see how that goes. We're gonna take a look here in a minute too when I get back about some of the fights they're having to try and put an end to some of this. But within all of the executive orders, I gotta tell you, there's one that I thought was rather interesting. Well, they're all interesting, but there's one that really caught my attention. Late last week, you may recall, Trump issued the order that transgenderism was no longer allowed in sports. We're not doing it. We're going back to the politics of common sense, he said. And again, you wonder why we have to, but we just have to. So let's do it and get it over with. But here's the other thing. The Education Department, according to Red State, under Trump, is demanding that the NCAA now return medals to women who lost to transgenders. There have been hundreds of medals nationwide where a female athlete lost to a biological male who was pretending to be a woman. This article from Red State says, would-be men cosplaying as women competing on women's sports teams were awarded unfairly titles, trophies, and records they did not and do not deserve. And now the Education Department under Trump is urging NCAA President Charlie Baker to rescind those records and titles. And yeah, that actually came from the Office of General Counsel to the National Federation of State High School Associations also, demanding that it be done at the high school level as well as the NCAA. What are the odds? You think they'll go back and retroactively pull those?
Zero chance.
I mean,
zero chance that Charlie Baker has the guts to do that.
I mean, Pete Rose is still not in the Hall of Fame.
That
so,
too.
So yeah, you look at it and go, "There's there are things that need to happen."
He's going to find a loophole and a word salad to say why they can't do that. And
when do we find a new NCAA head guy?
I actually don't even know how they become elected. So that's a good question. You know,
maybe it would be a head ill.
Head, yeah, that's true. That was mighty pretentious of you.
All right, let's take a break right now. We'll take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up this, where woke goes to die. I got more. I got a stack that's so big, I'm not even sure I can get there. Like, how about the school board that actually got up and walked out on parents who didn't want rainbow parade books in their kindergartners' rooms? For the love. I'm telling you, Trump is bringing it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Oh, now there we are. Did you have me muted? What just happened?
I'm not sure what just happened.
I don't either. That was weird. I'm talking and I can't hear myself. All right, we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Okay, hey, listen, that just felt very, I felt very disjointed. Should I just step back, play some bump music again and just... No, we are. We're back. And JP just let me know a moment ago. I don't know if y'all saw... I'm going to get back to my dipper here in a minute, but so maybe another story from the weekend was the U.S. and Canada hockey. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that Canadians by and large are ticked at America. I don't. I still think they sort of like relate to us in a sense, but there was some some low class in the stands around the ice at that game. They booed our national anthem.
Yep. And they've been booing the anthems ever since Trump got elected, it seems.
And they paid for it.
Yeah.
And there were like multiple fights on the ice like immediately. And those were like, they were like all out.
Yeah.
They were game on brawls, helmets flying off and teeth and hair and everything.
The video is just so funny, right? Right when the puck dropped. They didn't even go for it. They just
shmam. Threw off their gloves. But you just told me that Canada just won. I just spiked up my game. By the way.
It's coming back. Canada beat Finland, so now we're going to have a rematch in the championship of U.S. versus Canada once again.
Wow. When's it going to be?
Thursday.
Holy cow. This week. So I think the press has made something of the hype. At the same time, the hype was real.
No, yeah.
Did you see the locker room with the U.S. team and like getting themselves fired up and chanting over it and all that? I mean, they were gamey, man.
This is I was telling you during the break. This is supposed to be like their mid-year break or whatever. This is not a break for them. I guarantee you, they want to win this just as bad as they want to win the NHL championship and the Stanley Cup and their respective teams. So like this is awesome. It's a big deal. But also, it's a microcosm of what's going on. You know, the fact that we have Canada and the U.S. like seem to be like feuding, not only in sports but in real life politics. It's like the way it translates and reflects into sports is pretty crazy. I think that shows that it's real.
I picture this more along the lines of, you know, like two brothers fighting, but they're still brothers. I think this. I mean, we're not going to wind up at war with Canada.
No.
We're not going to wind up destroying Canada. And I really don't think Canada is going to become the 51st state. Mm-hmm. I don't. But I do think that we're going to wind up tweaking our relationship and putting sort of the priority back on America not losing out in everything, which has been the amazing thing. It's almost like it's like Obama and then Biden both went on the apology tour and sort of felt like, well, we're sorry that we're so big. We're sorry we have so much stuff here. Let us take it on the chin. Go ahead. It's like a slap fight. Like they just stood there and waited for the slap. And I'm like, no, it's a boxing match. You parry and you dance and you do what you got to do. And then you stay in the fight.
And I talked about this in out of right field, but people who think that this is not like a big deal, like the fact that this is going, it's just sports, but like it's a reflection of how big Trump's influence and his trolling has gone to Canada, because both teams on the hockey rink they knew right away like what was going to happen and what was going to go down. So I think it's just that just illustrates how crazy it is that we have the U.S. and Canada beefing. It's pretty nuts.
Beefing. Mm. Okay, so they play Thursday.
Thursday
might be one to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Several of y'all are texting in. In fact, I have two saying the exact same thing. One of those DEI jobs that used to identify herself as one thing now calls herself a people leader. Jeremy from Madison, I've decided to identify as a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people leader. That's a throwback to a song way before even my time, just so you know. Brian from Huntsville said the exact same thing. Bruce from Springville says, isn't the words woke person just another name for fool? It can be. Brian S. from Huntsville, is it French for he? I don't know if that's what they're going for. And that's what you read out a while ago. Gary from Leicester says, wondering who asked him to apologize for being black. I don't know. He was unapologetically black. Why are you unapologetically black? Who was asking you to apologize? I don't understand. But the reality is, he was not only unapologetically black, he was proud to put on his LinkedIn profile as a chief equity officer that he was unapologetically blackity black, 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 which also makes him sound like a child. All right. Going to come right back. We're going to jump on into a dipper number two. I'll tell you, you know what? I didn't get to this. I'll do this real quick because I teased it right before the last break. School board members in Penfield Central District in Rochester, New York, and I have friends up that way, had the school board walk out on them because parents showed up upset about an inappropriate book called The Rainbow Parade. It was about kids going to a sexual bondage drag queen parade and being told how fun it was to participate. And the parents said, what are we doing here? And the school board took offense at them asking. I'm just telling you, folks, keep asking. That's where woke goes to die, is when we keep asking. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.